It's 6 past 12 and 70 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Tuesday, June 18th. Coming up this hour, we'll hear from Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico. He's introduced legislation asking for a constitutional amendment to void the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision. New Mexico's AARP tells KSFR News that another Supreme Court decision will actually help thousands of New Mexicans. That's the decision preventing drug manufacturers from making deals with generic drug companies. A state lawmaker has tried and failed to get a bill passed that would call for a blanket ban on fireworks during periods of extreme drought. We'll learn about the bill and find out why it failed. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagen, and more after headlines.
A court hearing has been set for Thursday over the dispute between the Legal Tender Restaurant in Lamy and the Lamy Railroad and History Museum. The operators claim the museum didn't have the authority to evict them. The restaurant closed at the end of May following demands from the museum's board that they leave. It's a not guilty plea from the political operative accused of stealing emails belonging to Governor Susana Martinez. Jamie Estrada faces charges of hijacking the governor's election campaign website and having emails diverted to himself. His lawyer says the not guilty plea will assure that all of the details of the case come out. A New Mexico ranch owned by Ted Turner is set to go off the grid. An Albuquerque solar company has been hired to install a $1 million solar system at Turner's ranch near the Colorado border. Turner is one of the largest private landholders in New Mexico. A longtime Santa Fe retail establishment, Packard's on the Plaza, is calling it quits. The operators say the store, which opened in 1944, will close on September 28th after the conclusion of the summer tourist season. The 5,000-square-foot space on the east side of the plaza is known for its Native American and Southwestern artisan-crafted merchandise, such as jewelry and pottery. The store says it has suffered since the recession. Santa Fe's Finance Committee has approved a measure that would give patrons of the rail yard's proposed movie complex 4 hours of free parking. Such an arrangement is seen as necessary to satisfy the cinema's developer, Violet Crown of Austin, Texas. The parking cost would eventually be shouldered by the nonprofit Rail Yard Corporation, but deferred until 2029, when they would then begin to reimburse the city. Full City Council looks at the matter on June 26th. The Finance Committee has also acted to have City Hall consider terminating its contract with Nationwide Insurer, Service Line Warranties of America. That company was given permission to use city letterhead to sell homeowner insurance policies regarding water and sewer line repairs. Critics have argued that it's a questionable use of public resources for a private entity. With unanimous approval from the U.S. Senate, Kenneth J. Gonzalez will now become a U.S. District Judge for New Mexico. Last year, then-Senator Jeff Bingaman and Tom Udall submitted his name to President Obama for the post. The president formally nominated him in April. Gonzalez is a graduate of Pewaukee High School and has been serving as the U.S. Attorney for our state. The uncontained 3,500-acre Horoso fire is likely to see increased activity Wednesday and Thursday as humidity levels drop and high winds move across the region. The burn area is inaccessible to ground crews and has abundant fuels for further growth. The incident command team assigned to the blaze some 20 miles northeast of Santa Fe says flames may make uphill runs if the winds increase as expected. The Thompson Ridge fire in the Jemez is now at 90% containment. Due to improvements in condition, approval has been given to Jemez Electric Power Company to re-energize power lines on the Valles Caldera National Preserve. The Tres Lagunas fire near Pecos is also 90% contained. And as of today, our state's largest current wildfire is now the Silver Fire burning in the Gila National Forest. It has consumed 25,000 acres, with containment at just 5%. In a related item, a firefighting crew funded by Santa Fe City Hall is back on duty in the city after being called to help with the nearby Tres Lagunas fire. Porfirio Chavarria is the city's urban wildfire specialist and says before being diverted, the crew had been working on thinning operations in the Santa Fe watershed just below the reservoirs.
Currently, the work we are doing is a small 3-acre piece up there just below Nichols Reservoir, which is the lower reservoir. So, you know, that would be kind of at the mouth of the watershed there, depending on your perception. But you know, it is definitely at the bottom. So if you get something started at the bottom, it's, you know, fire likes to travel uphill, upslope, which would be right into the main reservoir and into the Pecos Wilderness, which is at the upper part of the reservoir.
New Mexico's Environment Department has today lifted that precautionary boil water advisory issued last Thursday to customers of the El Dorado Area Water and Sanitation District. An outage caused water pressure to fall to levels too low to ensure that no contamination had breached the system. The water system has now been disinfected, and bacterial sampling shows the water is safe for drinking. And weather for Santa Fe. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-80s and a 20% chance for an isolated thundershower. Upper 80s for highs tomorrow with just a 10% chance for precipitation. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
Stocks are on an uptick on Wall Street. Everything is up. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones is ahead 152 points at 15,332. Coming up on 12:13 on At Noon from KSFR News, Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico has just introduced legislation that could lead to overturning that controversial Supreme Court decision that essentially says money equals speech and corporations are people. Udall says the legislation calls for a constitutional amendment that would give Congress, not the courts, power over how elections are run and financed.
As many of you know, Buckley versus Faleo was the opinion that said money equals speech, which is, in my opinion, completely wrong. It doesn't fit with the reality of things, and I think it shows how out of touch the Supreme Court is with the politics of the day. Really, the only way to change these Supreme Court opinions is to focus on the issue of changing the court or getting them to change their opinion, which I think is pretty unlikely right now, or with a constitutional amendment, and that's why we're here today. What the constitutional amendment that I'm focusing on, it limits campaign finance expenditures. It grants Congress and the states the express authority to regulate and limit the raising and spending of money for political campaigns, includes the authority to regulate and limit independent expenditures like those from super PACs and corporations. It would not dictate any specific policies or regulations, but instead would allow Congress and the states to pass campaign finance reform legislation that withstands constitutional challenges, and expressly provides that any regulation authorized under the amendment cannot limit the freedom of the press. I hope you all realize, not limit the freedom of the press, okay? It's been a bipartisan amendment over the years. Senator Bennett and I put this in 2011. He's a lead with me also on it. The bipartisanship has been shared all the way back to the 1980s. Ted Stevens, Arlen Specter, John Danforth, Thad Cochran and John McCain have all either been on the amendment or voted for the amendment.
Senator Tom Udall introducing his constitutional amendment legislation. Constitutional amendments, of course, require approval by two-thirds of both the House and the Senate, after which they would have to be approved by state legislatures in at least 38 states. Stay with us. We'll keep you posted. Meanwhile, another Supreme Court decision is being applauded by seniors. It's the decision that ends deal-making between Big Pharma and generic drug companies that prevents patents from going generic too soon. The full analysis of the court's decision isn't in, and it may not be all roses, but for now, Gene Varela, the head of the New Mexico AARP, told me it sounds like good news.
As many of you know...
Yes, it is. It's great news because what's been happening is in these pay-for-delay negotiations between drug companies, what they're doing is they're going to these generic drug producers, and the companies are asking them to delay issuing the generic so that they can continue to market and derive some profits out of the name brand drugs. And so what's happening to people is that they're not getting access to the generic drugs, and so people are losing money on these deals.
It is a legal, confusing thing, isn't it?
It sure is, because, this is an issue that even I wasn't aware of recently. I thought that there were federal laws that governed the amount of time that people could get into the generic field.
And that drugs automatically went off patent and became available to be generics.
Right, that's correct. So having, you look at, for example, in New Mexico, we've got over 19,000 people who are on Medicare and get into Part D prescription drug coverage, but they reach a donut hole, which is a period of time when they don't have any coverage of their plans. There are over 400,000 uninsured people in New Mexico. And you get, our estimates show that there are about 21 million prescriptions filled in New Mexico every year. And you look at people, if they're having to dig, look at savings and other resources to cover the prescription drugs, just think how much they could have saved had the generic been available to them.
The number of New Mexicans in the Part D Medicare prescription program, 19,000, that doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
Well, actually, let me clarify that number. That's the number of people who fall into the donut hole every year.
I see.
So there's many more who are on Part D. But we know there's, when you have 19,000 people who are going to reach that coverage gap, what happens in Part D is you get coverage up to a certain point, and there's no coverage for a certain period of time until they reach another threshold, and then they get coverage again.
And what are those points?
When they reach about 2,900 in covered medications, they reach the donut hole, and then not until they reach the next threshold, which is about $4,700, they don't get any more insurance coverage.
So then in that middle donut hole, they have to pay the full amount.
Yes.
The patented drug.
That's right. Either they go out and purchase a higher cost additional coverage, but most people can't afford that. And so they're having to pay out of pocket. I know I had a gentleman who came in yesterday who was talking to us about the issues that he and his wife, who now has Alzheimer's, and he was saying, she's reaching the donut hole in the next month, and I have limited income. Where am I going to get the drugs? So they're having to look at other resources to cover the cost of those prescriptions.
After the Affordable Care Act takes effect, will that donut hole still exist for Medicare patients?
It is every year that donut hole is closing because what's happening now is that there's every year they add a little more coverage on some of the reductions in the cost of some of the generic drugs and some of the coverage on some of the name brand drugs. So the projection is that by 2020 there will be no donut hole, but it's going to be a very slow process to get there.
But the younger uninsureds are paying the full bolt right now if they don't have insurance coverage.
That's correct.
Which gets very, very expensive.
Yeah, what's coming up good for New Mexicans is this state has elected, the governor and the legislature has elected with a Medicaid expansion. That's going to make I think it's about 170,000 of these uninsured potentially would be eligible for the new Medicaid coverage. If they are eligible for that, that will cover some of the prescription drug coverage. We have to continue to look at ways to reduce those costs for individuals. And so this is one that we were in Washington last week talking to all our congressional delegation about, what needs to be done to help people with their costs. And specifically, we were talking about the future of Medicare. And this pay for delay was one of the items that we talked about and saying, you know, you just can't let this happen. You need to get these generics out there. We need to look at price negotiation. Just like under Medicaid, Medicare should have, the Human Services Secretary should have the ability to do price negotiation.
Well, we shall see what changes and what happens next.
We are going to be holding a discussion here in Santa Fe next week at the Hotel Santa Fe, Tuesday, June 25th, to talk about the future of Medicare and Social Security. We'll be talking about some of the thoughts and ideas that are going around about dealing with us with the future of these programs, and so we welcome the public at 9:30.
Gene Varela, head of the New Mexico AARP, on at noon from KSFR News. Coming up on 12:22 now, it's 70 degrees on our way to mid-80s for highs. Somewhat warmer tomorrow, slight chance for a shower both days, but ever so slight. The 4th of July is approaching, and with it, fireworks. Any number of people question whether a period of extreme drought is a good time to explode things, but a state law prohibits outright bans even when high fire danger has been declared. Instead, local governments can announce restrictions 30 days at a time and at least 20 days before any holiday for which fireworks may be sold. Well, lawmakers have attempted to tighten up restrictions on this situation, but they've been defeated in the legislature. One lawmaker who led such an effort this past season is Representative Emily Kane of Bernalillo County, who's also a veteran fire captain with the Albuquerque Fire Department. Representative Kane joins us on the line. Even in a time of great fire danger, local governments can't really enact a full ban on fireworks.
Actually, technically, no. There are three classes of fireworks, and two of them will automatically be banned for sale in situations of extreme drought. And extreme drought, there's a bunch of different scales and standards that use the term extreme. Although it's appropriate in many ways, because drought is one of the tests that we use for the National Fire Danger Rating System. There are a bunch of other components that are very complex, and the federal and state forestry personnel understand the complexity of what causes our open spaces and our wildland to be more susceptible to fire. The law that was originated, I'm not exactly sure when the entire statute was originated, but the 99 that you're referring to does allow an automatic ban in cases of extreme drought of two of the three classes of fireworks. And that's just for sale and use in any area.
Now, about this legislation you tried to move forward during the legislative session, what would it have accomplished?
The intent of the bill that I introduced, was House Bill 373, was to put the control at the level where the local authority having jurisdiction would be able to make as many specific changes as necessary. Whether or not they would do outright bans of fireworks, to my mind, it was probably not going to be the first thing that they would attempt to do, just because I'm familiar with what we deal with here in the Bernalillo County area. Restricting the use of fireworks to places that are open with nothing growing, perhaps even paved, and where you have a source of water, seems like that should be initiated anyway. And I do believe that local jurisdictions can do that. But the concern was the fireworks booths, which crop up 20 days before 4th of July. They also have other periods of time during the year, Chinese New Year, Cinco de Mayo. There's different periods of the year when fireworks are allowed to be sold at booths. But the one that typically draws our attention is 4th of July, because it's usually during that period of time that we're very hot and very dry. And some years it's really unsafe to have the average person out there shooting off fireworks if they're not being conscientious or careful about where.
What happened to the bill?
Well, rather than see it as being a positive, proactive, cooperative type of legislation, giving local jurisdictions more authority, the fireworks industry doesn't like any kind of regulation or change. And so what happened is it really got hijacked on the House floor. One of the representatives decided to turn it into something completely different, and I had to really withdraw it.
Even the governor supported your proposal.
Yes. My bill didn't give the governor a complete authority to take charge and completely ban the sale of fireworks in the state of New Mexico. So a lot of people seem to think that it did and were reacting to it as if that was what it said. My bill did, however, allow authorities having jurisdiction, the local authorities, Cassoot counties, to request the governor's office to assist them if, for example, you mentioned that 20-day in advance period when they could restrict sales. If they did not get together 30 days in advance and hold a hearing and figure out what they were going to do for the fireworks season around the 4th of July, then they would have had another option, a fallback. In case things got excessively hot and dry for a 10-day period, extreme drought was the term that we used. Extreme high fire danger rating was the measurements that we were using for that. They could call the governor's office in to assist them, but only at their request.
You've said you'd like to revisit your bill in the next session of lawmakers, but any thoughts on the way forward until then?
Well, this is just one of those situations where we're catering to one particular group, which is people that are making a lot of money selling fireworks at fireworks stands, and really being hands-off on an issue where we've allowed our jurisdictions, all of them, the counties and cities and fire departments in particular, to have control over all the sources of ignition. In other words, when you're in an extreme fire danger setting, you need to take control of things like cigarette smoking out in the wild land, that's illegal. Driving your vehicle on roads that are two tracks that have a layer of grass in the middle, the hot mufflers can cause the grass to ignite. There are a lot of restrictions that we put into place. We have control over every single source of ignition except fireworks. And that just seems that we're being irresponsible, and we're looking at a short-term goal of making a lot of money and overlooking the fact that we are putting homes and people and lives at risk.
Well, Representative Emily Kane and fire captain of the Bernalillo County Fire Department, Emily Kane, many thanks for being with us on At Noon. Repeating our top story, Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico has introduced legislation that could lead to overturning that controversial Supreme Court decision that says money equals speech and corporations are people. Udall says the legislation calls for a constitutional amendment that would give Congress, not the courts, power over how elections are financed. Now, constitutional amendments require approval by 2/3 of both the House and the Senate, after which they would have to be approved by state legislatures in at least 38 states. We've got a minute here for him.
It's kind of an interesting position to be in. I was speaking to my brother, and he said, "Your movie comes out soon." Of course, it's not my movie. None of it's my movie. I'm not even allowed to dream about it. That's how much it's not my movie. But I knew what my brother meant. Last year, I was lucky enough to spend a little bit of time working on The Lone Ranger. Let me rephrase that. I was lucky enough to work on the movie The Lone Ranger. It wasn't a big part, but hey, I'm a small guy. Any part I get is bigger than what I got. Let me rephrase that. Any part I get in a movie is a big part to me, regardless of how small. But there's the old saying, there are no small parts, only small actors. In my case, I like to think of myself as a diminutive actor. Anyway, I said to my brother, "Yeah, The Lone Ranger opens July 3rd, and I hope I'm in it. Until I see The Lone Ranger, I won't know whether they say Hi-Yo Silver or Gung-Ho Christopher." For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.